Blog Talk Radio.
Got a roster dilemma? There's nobody better to ask than FantasyGuru.com. Here are Bo Wolf and Joe Dolan and the Ask Guru podcast.
Welcome into the crystal clear edition, the week three version of the hashtag Ask Guru podcast. I'm Bo Wolf alongside FantasyGuru.com managing editor Joe Dolan. Joe, you were 6-3 last week on your nine teams. How'd you do in week two?
I think I was 4-5 this week. I had a couple bad decisions and a couple, I ran into a couple buzzsaws, Bo. As a matter of fact, we were talking off air before the podcast, and man, I made some of the worst decisions of my life in a 10-team league, and I can't believe
what
I started.
What are you doing in a 10-team league, Joe?
I play in all different sizes and formats, 10, 12, 14. I like to mix it up there. The problem with the 10-team league is my roster's so good, I'm bound to make the wrong decisions. There's my excuse there. But, oh, man, it was not pretty. And I lost Tony Romo, and now I'm going to start Tyrod Taylor. Almost went with Nick Foles going up against Pittsburgh, but I'm going to give Tyrod Taylor a shot this week after losing Romo.
All right, let's talk about the situation for Romo owners, because I am one of them in a league. Maybe my best team, but lost Romo. I thought I had a great backup plan with Sam Bradford on my bench, but I don't know if I can trust that moving forward, obviously. Picked up Tyrod Taylor so I could start one of those two guys this week. I guess I would lean Tyrod this week. But then also the opportunity out there to maybe do something where I'm swapping Carlos Hyde for Mr. Andrew Luck. And I would like to do that, but it would leave my running backs pretty bereft.
If I'm trading for a quarterback, Bo, I want to trade from a position of strength that's not going to significantly weaken my roster. See, that's got to be, if I'm trading for a quarterback, it's got to be a trade in my mind I win. Now, it could help the other guy. The other guy might need Carlos Hyde badly, and it makes sense for him to make that deal. Maybe he has Carson Palmer on the bench. Carson Palmer
was
exactly
the guy. That's exactly who he has on the bench.
That would be, yeah, there's my guess, because Carson Palmer's been the number two fantasy quarterback so far. I mean, I got him in my auction league, which is my most competitive league. I got him for $1 in my, like, right. And he's my every week starter at this point. See, but from your perspective, if I'm making a trade like that, I need to win that deal, because I think I can go get Tyrod Taylor. Maybe Sam Bradford figures it out this week. I mean, who knows? You're making the right decision, by the way. Bradford on the road at the Jets, you bench him this week, then you reassess, see what happens after the first 2 week disasters. But I would want to win that deal pretty handily if I'm dealing for a quarterback, even for Luck or Rodgers. But it is a good time to buy low on Luck, because he's had two tough matchups in a row, and things really lighten up. And also remember, Luck plays in the worst division in football. Well, one That's of the exactly. worst divisions, maybe the NFC East is the worst this year. So I think Luck's going to be absolutely fine, but it's a good time to buy low if you can go acquire them. And that's key, because I'm all about not overpaying for quarterbacks, especially in drafts. But if you can buy low now, get them for a guy who was like an eighth round pick on your roster, and you can spare that guy. Maybe you picked up Deion Lewis and you now have extra running backs because of Deion Lewis, and you can trade away a guy you drafted a little bit higher. That might be a move to make. But I would want you to win that deal, Bo, before making it.
All right, let's stick with the theme of guys who you may be worried about through 2 weeks, since we're talking about Andrew Luck. I'm going to run down a list of guys. You tell me the varying level of concern you have for these players through 2 weeks. And after Luck, we'll stay in Indianapolis. What about Frank Gore?
My concern level is medium with Frank Gore. Once again, two tough matchups. And Bo, we're probably not even talking about him right now if he had just walked into the end zone instead of having that fluky fumble. And it was a fluky fumble. He lost the ball when he was switching arms, walking into the end zone. If he scores that touchdown, are we even talking about Frank Gore today? Because I don't think he looked bad. You mentioned off air, you didn't think he looked great, but the guy's 32 years old playing for a new team. I think he looked just fine. I thought he looked tough, explosive. He looked a lot better than Josh Robinson. My boy, Josh Robinson. I like Josh Robinson a lot, but he looked a lot better than him. My concern level with Gore is about medium. I really want to see what he does against some easier matchups before I go full panic mode.
All right, how about Bradford, who was just terrible in that game against against Dallas? I was at that game, Joe, my first Eagles tailgate after working for the team for 6 years. And until Monday afternoon, I didn't even know that the Eagles scored a touchdown at the end of the game because we left with about 4 minutes to go after the Terrence Williams
touchdown. That was a very, very big fantasy touchdown, by the way.
Yes.
Because it salvaged something for Bradford, and it actually gave Jordan Matthews a big game. My concern for Sam Bradford right now is high, because my concern with the Eagle offense is high. Bo, where would you rank Bradford on the list of Eagles' concerns right now?
Oh, geez. Well, that's the offensive line has to be number one.
Exactly.
Right, Bradford's got to be two, though.
I'd probably put him three, because I think the receivers need to catch the damn ball too.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of drops, but I'll tell you what, as I go through rewatching these games throughout the week, there are so many drops on every team. So, you know, watching that game was incredibly frustrating, and there were some drops, but the fact that Bradford won't even take a shot downfield, that is what is the most concerning thing to me.
He looks so concerning.
Timid in the pocket.
Does it have to do with the new system, the fact that he hasn't played in 2 years because of injury? Does it have to do with the fact that the receivers aren't getting open? I think that could be all three. But here's my question, and maybe this sounds like excuse making. What is Miles Austin on this team for? He's now dropped two really good throws in 2 weeks.
He's on the team because he was guaranteed $1 million, Joe.
I mean, that's got to be driving them nuts. And you know what? Maybe we were all naive, because when you look at this, is an entirely new offense. Other than Jordan Matthews and Riley Cooper, who is another guy who dropped a long pass last week, you have two new starting guards. You have a new starting quarterback. Your top two running backs are both new. You have a rookie wide receiver. You have Miles Austin out there. Maybe we were all naive.
Well, I also think that the continuity on the offensive line is a little overstated. I mean, Andrew Gardner started games for the Eagles last season. Alan Barbee started week one before he dislocated his ankle and was out for the season, but he started a game the year prior. I mean, these guys are not new to the offense. The offensive line, I think, that's a misevaluation of talent, I think, to think that you could get by with those guys at guard. And, I mean, what happens if one of those guys gets hurt?
That's a very fair point, Bo. I think the thing for Bradford is it's hard to expect anybody in this offense to succeed if they can't run the ball. And I'm talking they can't even get 3 yards on first down. A second and seven looks a hell of a lot better than second and 11. And they were consistently in second and 11. Second and 12. That's my concern. It's not like they're almost there.
The only faith is that, I mean, it can't get worse, right? So, you know, you have
that's
to.
That's what we thought.
It's going to turn around a little bit. That's what we
thought after the Atlanta game.
Yeah.
And now the one thing I've also pointed out is, do you remember in 2013, which was Chip Kelly's first year in Philadelphia, they had that 2 week stretch where the offense looked like the worst in football. It was the game against Dallas.
Yes.
At Lincoln Financial Field. And then the next week they lost to the Giants, where they brought Michael Vick back too fast from the hamstring.
Pulled his hammy. Matt Barkley had to come in.
Now, obviously different circumstances, but after that people were like, well, it took a month and a half for teams to figure out Chip Kelly. And then the next game was Nick Foles' 7 touchdown game. I'm not expecting Sam Bradford to come out and throw 7 dimes against the New York Jets. Matter of fact, that's why we have him ranked so low this week. If you have Sam Bradford, am I saying drop him? Absolutely not. What I am saying is, if you have another option, start him this week. And if Bradford blows up on the road against one of the tougher defenses in the NFL, then you reconsider next week. You're making the right call to bench him this week. Bo, I'm actually looking at Twitter here. Lewis Riddick from ESPN. Familiar man to Eagles fans. He said the Eagles were close to having running lanes they wanted quite a few times in that Dallas game, but it just seemed like on every play, one guy would miss a block.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Chip Kelly means when he says this is execution. This is not talent. And from talking to somebody in that building who works in the film department, Bo, he said it's not one guy who's messing up. It's a different guy who seems to be messing up on every play. That is a concern. But it also makes you feel like, shouldn't this be able to get fixed at least somewhat?
That's the hope. I mean, you have to believe that it'll get fixed to some extent. But the hopes that this was going to be perhaps the most high-powered offense in the league, those hopes have been dashed, I would say.
Yeah. And here's my point to people who have DeMarco Murray. Jordan Matthews has come through for you. And if it's going to be in garbage time, it's going to be in garbage time. But Jordan Matthews has come through. So he was the other guy who was getting drafted super high. DeMarco Murray, Bo, you kind of have to stand pat, don't you? What are you going to get for him at this point?
Well, yeah, exactly. There's no way to get any kind of value for him at this point. So you gotta hope his value rebuilds a little bit.
You give Bradford another week or two on your bench. Two more tough matchups coming, both on the road. If he looks decent in one of them, I would hold because it's going to get better. If he looks disastrous, I mean, I have to think there's a non-zero chance they go to Sanchez at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in a two-quarterback league and you have a bench spot to burn, you can do much worse than holding on to Mark Sanchez.
I mean, yeah, I don't think Chips is going to make that kind of move unless it's like beyond hopeless. But Bradford, above all, needs the offensive line to play better and he needs the run game to work so he can get comfortable. And that's what I'm not holding against him.
All right, let's move on to more guys you might be concerned about. And sticking at the quarterback position, not necessarily for the quarterback, but for the implications, how worried are you about Brandon Cooks in New Orleans?
Significantly. Drew Brees had him, Bo. You rewatched that game for a potential, 70-yard touchdown?
Yeah.
And he tried to wind up under it.
Yeah, I mean, he threw so many ducks in that game. I watched that game before I found out that his shoulder was hurt, and I couldn't believe some of the throws he was making, so it only made sense afterwards. But, I mean, he couldn't throw the ball more than 30 yards downfield.
It's concerning. If I was the Saints, I don't know why the hell I would start Breeze. The guy can't throw the football right now. Physically cannot throw the football. I actually said on Twitter, in a league, I started receiver, receiver, receiver. I had the number one overall pick and took Antonio Brown, and then I went with Mike Evans and Jordan Matthews at the 2-3 turn. I said, okay, I passed on Brandon Cooks to select Mike Evans. Mike Evans has zero catches through two games, and I'm glad I took him over Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, I think that's
how concerned I am right now about Brandon Cooks.
So that explains then that you are not too concerned about Mike Evans, and I guess helped a little bit that Safarian Jenkins is now out for 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I am concerned about Evans. The guy hasn't actually caught a pass from Jameis Winston yet, and that's including preseason. But you would have to think Evans is a guy who everybody's like, oh, he's not on the same page with Winston. Doesn't Evans feel like a guy who really helps chemistry because you can just kind of chuck it up there and you have a reasonable expectation that he's going to be able to make a play?
Exactly.
That's the way I look at it.
Okay, how about Roddy White, who had zero catches last week against the Giants?
He's a bench guy. He's a guy you have on your bench. He's a guy you plug in a good matchup. Now, I understand last week was a good matchup. But he came through in a good matchup in week one as well. He's more of a number four, number five receiver. And if you can hold that type of guy on your roster, then do it. If you want to drop him for somebody with upside, I'm okay with that.
How about Justin Forsett in Baltimore losing some playing time and a touchdown to Lorenzo Taliaferro?
I have moderate concern here. I still think they haven't really gotten the run game going. I actually, though, wrote a strategy column on fantasyguru.com this week, Bo, where I advise
going
people
on strategy,
to
debut.
The debut. Did you read?
Of course I read.
Yeah, and that's where I advise people to maybe, if you're in a deeper league, go pick up Lorenzo Taliaferro, who's owned in about 2% of leagues on Yahoo right now. He played 41% of the snaps, and that's a concern for me. That snap number. I really follow the snaps at the running back position. If you can go get Talaferro, if you have Forsett, I would advise you to do so. I personally was not a Buck Allen fan on his film. I didn't think he was a particularly tough inside runner. I think he's almost kind of a lowercase Forsett, even though he's bigger than him. And Talaferro came out and was pretty effective. So I think Talaferro is a guy who is worth an ad if you need some running back depth.
How about Alshon Jeffrey, who did not play against Arizona and now all of a sudden goes to Seattle, and even if he does play, has to deal with Jimmy Clausen at quarterback?
Yeah, you're going to sit him this week. Jimmy Clausen at quarterback at Seattle. I'm actually glad the Bears are benching him at this point, because the only thing you can get from that is a negative. You can get him to hurt himself more. If I have Jeffrey, I'm just glad they're doing what they're doing.
All right, two more. Jimmy Graham, not a big day. One catch, I believe, against the Packers. I am not as concerned about Jimmy Graham. I think they're going to try to force feed him the ball, but it's, you know, in my guess, it's going to be sort of like this week in, week out. He's going to have some big games, and he's going to have some games where he disappears for you. He's going to be a frustrating own.
This is why I had him, well, I had him third at tight end, but I had Travis Kelce second, because I just didn't know how the Seahawks were going to use him. My hope was, the line I kept pumping out this summer was, he was going to be more like a Julius Thomas than a Rob Gronkowski. Yeah, he would catch four passes for 50 yards, but you have a reasonable expectation that he's going to score every week.
Right.
Or maybe even twice. He'd be the red zone guy. The problem for the Seahawks, Bo, and the reason the offense hasn't been able to get going, is because the offensive line has not been blocking well. They haven't run the ball well, which means Jimmy Graham's been blocking more, which prevents them from throwing him the ball. And the fact that they can't run makes it harder for them to sustain drives, which also means Jimmy Graham is going to struggle to get the ball. On a much lesser case than the Eagles, I think this is an offense that's been concerning so far this year. And it starts up front.
Would you rather have Jimmy Graham or Tyler Eifert for the rest of the season?
Ooh, Eifert.
I think I would too.
I think Eifert's right now, I have more faith in that Bengal offense. Do consider this, though. Andy Dalton had two really nice matchups to open the year. Not so fast going forward. He's got a string of tougher matchups, which is a problem for me in the in my league, where I have Bradford and Dalton. But at this point, I just have to start Dalton and suck it up. I think I would say Eifert. Maybe I'm overreacting to a couple weeks, but it looks like his involvement in the offense is going to be more consistent than that of Jimmy Graham. I do want to see the Seahawks get going. And I think they will. I think they'll get going.
I would imagine so. And they have some matchups that are able to be taken advantage of. All right, last one. How about Calvin Johnson?
My concern with Calvin is that the Lions are really bad. Stafford's banged up. He does not look good. The issue is they have playmakers and none of them are getting the ball, which is a significant issue, is a serious problem. They're still wasting snaps on a Joik Bell in the backfield. Stafford's hurt. He's got the chest. He's got the throwing arm. I think Calvin's more of a receiver too at this point. And hopefully Stafford improves. Hopefully Stafford gets healthy. But I am concerned about Calvin Johnson, no doubt about it.
All right, let's move on to some of the news around the league, Joe. And how about we start with the news out of Cleveland that, coming back from a concussion, it will be Josh McCown playing over Johnny Manziel. You know, unless you're in a two-quarterback league, you're not starting either one of these guys probably, but does it make you less likely to start Travis Benjamin if you picked him up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm glad for all those people who spent like $40 of their fab budget on Travis Benjamin, who, by the way, has 7 targets this year, which is 72nd in the wide receiver position. I think Pro Football Focus, Mike Clay, pointed out that Benjamin ran all of like 9 routes this past week. And I mean 9 total routes, not 9 different routes, like the route tree.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, you want to talk about low consistency, Travis Benjamin. Now look, he runs in a straight line and he does it very well. He's very fast and he's a good return man. If you get return yards, absolutely Travis Benjamin should be on a roster. But I mean, I had people in my mentions who were actively saying to me, I am trying to get Travis Benjamin in this lineup. Who do I sit? And I'm like, whoa, not so fast. And now you get to the point where the guy who's thrown him all those long touchdowns isn't even playing. So I think I'm sitting him this week.
Okay, I agree. How about with Le'Veon Bell coming back in Pittsburgh, some talk that the Steelers will still try to keep D'Angelo Williams a little bit involved in the backfield. What do you make of that? Obviously, you're starting Le'Veon Bell, but do you downgrade him a bit in terms of rankings?
It's not a huge concern to me, Bo, because even a running back playing 60% of the snaps, which is significantly lower than Bell played last year, is a high-volume running back for fantasy these days. D'Angelo Williams looked really good. Really good. As a matter of fact, he's the number one fantasy back. But my concern is that Le'Veon Bell, people forget how good he was last year in both the run game and the passing game. So I'm not concerned about it. Does it mean D'Angelo is probably worth holding as a handcuff if you're a Bell owner? For sure. If I had D'Angelo and I didn't have Bell, I'd be trying to move D'Angelo to the Bell owner for something of value. Sure, if not, sure. I'd be okay with dropping him. As I mentioned in my Dolan on Strategy article, I don't really see the value in holding somebody else's clear handcuff.
All right,
that was
Arizona.
The crux of my article this week.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. Make sure you check it out on fantasyguru.com. Dolan on Strategy, the debut.
Thanks, Bo.
No problem. Okay, Andre Ellington, hopefully to return in week 4, but for now, sounds like David Johnson will be a little bit more of a factor on offense than he was in week 3 instead of Chris Johnson. Obviously, you talked about this, Joe. You would rather own David Johnson than Chris Johnson, but how about factoring in Andre Ellington's impending return?
If I was an Ellington owner, I'd be super damn concerned about David Johnson because the guy's explosive. And the cool thing is, the Cardinals are using him in the right way. David Johnson in Northern Iowa didn't really play to his size, at least as an interior runner. The guy's a nightmare on the perimeter. He's very fast. He's very explosive. He can make linebackers look absolutely silly in coverage. I don't see a way that the Arizona Cardinals could reasonably keep this guy off the field. And what does that mean? 15 touches a game? Does it mean 10 touches a game? I'm not sure yet. I will say this. I think they're wasting snaps on Chris Johnson. Not without Ellington, because you need to have that rotation there. But when Ellington right. comes back, I think they'll be wasting snaps on Chris Johnson. And that's another guy. I mean, why? What's he giving you? You saw what he had. But he was the starter last week, and what did he give you? So there's another guy I'd be moving on from. David Johnson should be out-snapping Chris Johnson at this point. Bruce Arians is all about, he's got to earn it. Well, the guy has a rushing touchdown, a receiving touchdown, and a return touchdown in his first 2 NFL games. What does he have to do to earn it? Like, that crap drives me nuts. David Johnson's a guy who should be owned in virtually all leagues, especially PPR leagues, and 100% in return yardage leagues. The guy is an emerging star as maybe not a full-time running back, but as a guy who can make plays from anywhere on the field. I would be concerned if I'm an Ellington owner because there's no way they should keep this guy off the field.
All right, if you are an Eddie Lacy owner, as you talked about in your column, Joe, you're not too worried if you own James Starks, but if you don't own James Starks and you have to play the waiting game for Eddie Lacy on Monday, are you starting whoever your replacement would be in the lineup on Sunday before you find out what's going to happen to Eddie on Monday?
Here's one I would do. Tell me if this sounds foolish, Bo. Say I've got Matt Jones, who plays Thursday night, and I've got Lacy, and Jones is my best bench option, I'd play Matt Jones.
I think you have to.
Do you think that's foolish?
I think you have to.
And I think that's going to be a problem a lot of people are going to have. Because at least people who listen to us and follow us, because I was begging people to draft Matt Jones. So I think that's a move just because if that's your best bench option by far and he plays Thursday, I think you got to plug him in.
Yeah.
Now, if you can wait until Monday, if you do have Starks, that's a nice luxury to have. But remember, look what the Chiefs did to the Bronco running game last Thursday night. They just ate it alive.
Yeah.
That's a good defense. And I think the Broncos have concerns up front, but that's a good defense. Jay Howard was making plays all over the field.
Absolutely. Who starts more games for the Cowboys at quarterback, Brandon Whedon or Matt Cassel?
Whedon. Close, though. Good question. Wow. Yeah, I don't want either one of these guys for fantasy. If that's not,
yeah, but, I mean, if you're in a two quarterback league, you got to decide whether to pick up to, you know, use the number one waiver spot on Brandon Whedon or something like that. You know, is it worth it? Do you think he's going to end up being the guy for all 10 weeks? I don't know.
I mean, I think you kind of have to, especially if you're in a deeper two quarterback league where starters are just not consistently available.
You have talked about Duke Johnson versus Isaiah Crowell. You would rather own Duke?
I think so. And honestly, I think McCown's better news for Duke because I think they'll throw it more with McCown. You know, Manziel only threw 15 passes this past week. Duke doesn't have a passing target yet. Crowell looks fine. I think both of them are worth owning, but Duke actually outsnapped Isaiah Crowell this past weekend. Even though he didn't catch a ball, I think his breakout's coming.
Who scores more fantasy points at the end of the season, Ty Montgomery or Richard Rodgers?
Richard Rodgers.
Okay.
Damn, Bo, you're stumping me here. I'm still trying to get going for the day.
I'm trying to ask the hard questions. How about in Atlanta, Tevin Coleman out for a couple weeks. Do you like Devontae Freeman more than a flex play?
No. Yeah. I don't think he's looked great. I think he's a PPR flex. I think he's a PPR flex, and because he'll catch a couple passes.
Yeah, he doesn't do anything for me. Victor Cruz maybe coming back in week four. Does that do anything for you?
Yes. And I'm saying this as somebody who avoided Victor Cruz in all drafts. The reason I say yes is because the Giants just cut the man who is third on their team in targets. Of course, they were crappy targets. He dropped about half of them, but Preston Parker just got cut. The only two guys on the team who have more targets are Shane Vereen and Odell Beckham. They need somebody to catch the football. Reuben Randle cannot play. He cannot run. No, I think, didn't we talk about this last week? Chris Collinsworth basically talked to him, and Randle said, yeah, my knees are kind of like really bad, and I'm just going to do what I can do. I think they need Cruz. And while I don't, the one thing I was pointing out to people when I was telling them I wouldn't draft them was Victor Cruz hasn't really been a consistently relevant fantasy player in 3 years. However, even if he's playing at like 60% of what he once was, the Giants need him because they don't have anything else outside of Beckham and Vereen. So I think
Larry Donnell is dropping half the passes that go his way.
Yeah, they're in a tough spot right now. I think they need Cruz, just as somebody who Eli Manning would trust to be in the right spot.
All right, well, before we get to the questions part of the segment from the fans on Twitter, hashtag AskGuru, really the point of the podcast, Joe, is there anything more masturbatory than the gold 50-yard lines on the fields throughout the entire season? It drives me nuts. First of all, they do not look gold. They look yellow. And it's one thing to do it, you know, opening weekend of the 50th anniversary. But do we have to have it all year long? It is so ridiculous. They take themselves so seriously. I can't stand it.
I have no strong opinions on that, Bo.
It drives me whatsoever. Nuts. And it looks terrible. The optics are awful. And don't get me started on don't get me started on the PATs. I mean,
oh yeah, I know you. I know you don't have a strong.
We spent all off season worrying about the degree to which the ball was inflated. We're taking all the mini things so ridiculously seriously. It's all about all about protecting the shield or whatever. And then you in one fell swoop, without really even thinking about it at all, you just change the course of the game to a coin flip on PATs. It doesn't make any sense. It's outrageous.
It is wild. How about the Steelers going for two a bunch though this past week?
Loved it. Well, so you know, I rewatched that game. The first one they just went for it, which was nice. The second one, they were only went for it after a defensive penalty, after the defense jumped on the PAT. So it moved it to the 1 yard line, which made it an easy decision. But yeah, Tomlin said he thinks they'll do it more than 50% of the time. If they convert more than 50%, that's worth it, obviously.
Hey, Bo, let me ask you. If the Eagles ever get a lead to open a game this year, do you think Chip Kelly goes for two?
No, I mean, we've already talked about it. Chip is not the big balls chip in-game decision maker that people sort of expected. I mean, he goes for it on fourth down less than league average. He did the one swinging gate his first year, the second game, and it got blown up, and he hasn't done anything like that since.
Well, he can't do the swinging gate now because of the change PAT rule. Bo, I mean, if the Eagles go for that fourth down against the Falcons,
I think they make
which, by the way, maybe knowing how they were running the ball against Dallas, maybe it was a good decision for Chip not to go for it.
It wasn't.
But if they do go for that and then they win the game, are we even like freaking out about the Eagles right now?
Well, like, I don't think we'd be
one and
happy
one, and you're like, they had a crappy game.
Well, and we would know that the Cowboys were without Dez and Tony Romo for a long time. But
yeah.
All right. To the portion of the podcast, now that we're 30 minutes in, that the fans actually tune in for the Ask Guru section. We'll start with Daniel Tartiti. Which rookie running back not named Abdullah or Gurley is the best buy now candidate in a dynasty PPR?
Rookie not named Abdullah or Gurley.
Running back.
Well, Bo, I have got to admit, Melvin Gordon looks a lot better than I thought he would.
I really agree.
Now, Danny Woodhead has been their best fantasy. That was my call. However, Danny Woodhead's in his 30s. He's not going to last forever. Ooh, that's a really good question. I think I'd lean to Gordon simply because the way he looks, Bo, looks like a phenomenal talent. He looks like, all right, this is the guy that you trade up in the first round for. He looks tough. He looks like he's got great balance. He's got explosiveness.
Go ahead. I mean, in a pure ranking sense, I would agree that Gordon is probably the guy there. But if you're in a dynasty league, whoever took Gordon took him in the first round. They're not probably bailing ship.
They're not trading
this
him
soon. Is there a guy under the radar you think for Daniel Tartiti here who may be able to sneak off somebody's roster?
Nobody's trading Matt Jones right now, especially in a dynasty league. I might look to Yeldon because I think he's looked pretty damn good too, to be honest.
Yeah, I think he's looked pretty good.
And he's playing a ton of snaps. So he looks pretty interesting. I'm kind of into TJ Yeldon for that question. That's a really good question, though. And you're right. Nobody who drafted Gordon high in a dynasty league is going to look at the way he's played so far and say, I've got to trade that guy. They're going to ride it out because he's looked really good.
Here's one for you. What about David Cobb? Could you get David Cobb for nothing right now? Because Sankey's not doing anything. He might be on the waiver wire, I suppose. But
yeah, that's a good one. I think they need him because they're groping. I mean, they're trying to get they're trying to make Terrence West a thing, and that's clearly not going to work. That's a very interesting one, Bo. And I like David Cobb. Before he got hurt, I thought he was going to lead the Titans in rushing this year.
And the expectation is that in that offense, defenses are going to have to pay attention to Mariota coming out of the backfield anyway, so that should theoretically open up some lanes for if they ever get a good running back. Yeah, so
that's a really good buy low.
All right, Tommy, at Moose on a Hill, if you have quality depth, is it still worth going after high-end free agents and using up your fab budget or hold off when it's needed? This is a Dolan on strategy question.
Absolutely. Now, what is the quality depth? Now, if my quality depth is like Matt Jones and David Johnson, well, those are the guys who you're spending fab budget on. But if your quote-unquote quality depth is a Roddy White, an Anquan Boldin, you know, guys who you know, Michael Crabtree, guys who you know you can plug in and get a reasonable expectation of 10 to 12 fantasy points a week, which is valuable. There's when bye weeks and injuries start up and injuries already have, those are very valuable things, Bo. But I got to be honest with you. I'm never stopping trying to improve my roster because who knows? Like, what happens if you had, let's just say, Anquan Boldin on your bench last year or Michael Crabtree on your bench last year or somebody of that tier on your bench last year, and you're like, you know what? I've got this guy. He's a veteran. I know what I expect. There's no need for me to go out and get Odell Beckham. there's no need for me to go out and get CJ Anderson. I am evaluating every transaction and seeing, can that put me over the top? I am never stopping trying to get guys on my roster who can help me win. And right now, I think Matt Jones can help me win. And there's two reasons about Matt Jones to be specific with him. Number one, he looks great. Number two, I think this is a better team than people anticipated. They're better defensively. And while they might not win a ton of games, they're going to be able to keep them close enough that the run game is going to still be their foundation. So I'm evaluating every situation individually, and I will absolutely dump quote-unquote quality depth for more upside depth, without a doubt.
All right, here's a quick hitter. Start two this week in a PPR. Frank Gore, Ingram, Ameer Abdullah, Matt Jones.
Frank Gore, Ingram, Ameer Abdullah, and Matt Jones. Okay. Let's say I'm going to bench Abdullah because I don't trust the way they're playing him right now.
And they're playing Denver.
And they're playing Denver. Good call.
On a long break for Denver.
I am going to roll the dice. And by the way, Matt Jones is ranked the lowest of these four guys on fantasyguru.com. I am looking at our projections. But as I always tell people, do not be a rankings slave. Do not just say, oh, that's the rankings. That's what I'm going with. You have to evaluate every situation. I'm going to play Matt Jones against the Giants.
Interesting.
And then I'm going to wait till Sunday. And if Drew Brees isn't playing, then I'm playing Frank Gore. And I'm going to feel pretty good about that because I think Indianapolis gets going against Tennessee this week.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think you're playing Frank Gore just because you got to trust him against Tennessee. And then you can decide whether you want to roll the dice with Matt Jones or hold off on the Drew Brees decision to decide between Ingram and
the highest of these guys on our rankings, by the way. But yeah. There's a lot of volatility built into that ranking.
All right, here's an open-ended one. Who's the best low wide receiver two-ish with upside buy low player right now for a Dez owner to target from Chuck Keenum?
I wonder if you get Brandon Cooks for Dez. But would that be a situation you want to stay away from? You know what, Bo? How about Mike Evans?
Yeah, I mean, I doubt you're getting him straight up for Dez now with the new reported timeline, but maybe you can put something together, Dez plus, for Mike Evans. That makes sense.
Kendall Wright is interesting. Coming off of kind of he had a big game in week one, got a little banged up in week two. I think that's interesting. Sammy Watkins, although he had the garbage time touchdown last week, is interesting. See, here's my thing. I'm not selling Dez for like Mike Wallace. What does that get you? If I'm selling that, Charles Johnson's one. He's done absolutely nothing through 2 weeks, but the Vikings had a garbage game plan in week one where they came out to throw the ball and had no success. And then in week two, they were the exact opposite. I don't think we've seen the true Vikings yet. Charles Johnson might be an interesting one.
All right, here's a question from a Breeze owner. He has Mariota on his bench, and the quarterbacks on the waiver wire are Eli Manning, Teddy Bridgewater, Tyrod Taylor, Joe Flacco, and Andy Dalton. What should he do this week? I mean, I would say that Eli is the best of those guys, but you're not going to pick him up and start him Thursday if you're going to wait on the Breeze decision. So,
especially with the way Washington's defense looks. Actually, we have Tyrod Taylor ranked the highest of this group, but I would just start Mariota.
Yeah,
I think the matchup's good enough against Indy, and he has the rushing upside as well. I think I'd roll with Mariota. Although Tyrod Taylor's appealing, Mariota would be the guy I'd play.
All right. Would you stick with Jonathan Stewart and Justin Forsett as your starters, or would you look to plug in either Crowell or Matt Jones as one of the starters?
I'd definitely look to plug in Matt Jones. Who would you rather sit? I'd rather sit Stewart at this point than Matt Jones. I think Stewart is, there's two concerns. He's a pretty good receiver, and he's playing New Orleans, but the touchdown opportunities are a concern for me because they just give the ball to Cam inside the five. If you want to take an upside shot on Matt Jones, I would. Crowell, I think Crowell needs a touchdown, man. And
yeah, I wouldn't play him over Jonathan Stewart.
Yeah, I think Matt Jones over Jonathan Stewart, if you want to make that upside move, is very fair.
I think I'm going to give Stewart one more week since he's got that terrible Saints defense coming to town. But
yeah, he is still involved. Yeah. I mean, Jonathan Stewart, you know he's going to touch the ball if you play him. But I underestimated just how much they're going to get Cam the ball inside the five. And you know, you're always like, oh, they want to avoid getting him hurt, but they also want to score points, and Cam's really good at the goal line.
Very true. All right, pick two of the following. Frank Gore, Latavius Murray, Amir Abdullah, Matt Jones, Gio, Spiller, Duke, Johnson, and Gurley. That's a
thank
deep.
Thank you for listing your entire roster.
Yeah, deep group of running backs. Touchdown heavy scoring, he says.
Latavius and Gore.
Okay.
Latavius going up against – Latavius is super involved, man.
Yes.
And I think Gurley probably – you're going to – that group of running backs is going to drive you nuts. You're going to want to make a trade out of that group eventually. Because if in most situations, I want to play Gurley this week if I have him. If he goes, assuming he goes, of course.
Yes. Matt Spada wants to know, is Allen Robinson an every week flex start? The option otherwise is Frank Gore.
Yes. I'd rather at this point, Robinson, look, Bortles played pretty well this past week. He didn't play well in week one, but you see what the upside is for Allen Robinson. At this point, I'd rather have him than Gore until I see what Gore does. That's a good problem to have.
Who do you like better, Rashard Matthews or Charles Johnson?
Charles Johnson. I'm not freaking after 1 week. Matthews is one of those guys who, if you have him on the back end of your roster, and you can have a reasonable expectation of 5 for 50, and that's fine. But I'm still going to wait it out and see what the Vikings truly look like with when they get both the running and the passing game going.
Okay, of TJ Yeldon, Lamar Miller, Allen Robinson, and Matt Jones, and Devontae Freeman. Sorry, he needs one running back and two flex.
Can you repeat that for me?
Put that picture Lamar together. Miller. One running back and two flex. So Yeldon, Lamar Miller, Allen Robinson, Matt Jones, and Devontae Freeman.
Matt Only Jones, Yeldon.
PPR.
Matt Jones, Yeldon, and Allen Robinson. Lamar Miller's hurt. He has an ankle. They just promoted Jonas Gray today. So there's a chance Lamar Miller doesn't play this week. Devontae Freeman does nothing for me. So by default, it's the other three guys.
Okay. Frankie Pita wants to know, would you trade Jonathan Stewart for LeSean McCoy in a PPR?
Yes.
I would too.
I don't know why. I don't know why either team has to make that deal, but I would. Yeah.
Will Harris, 10-team keeper league. Have an IR spot for Dez, but using it will bench him until 2016. Should I clear the roster spot? No.
No, I don't think so, because I think in a 10-team league, you have enough talent to hold that roster spot.
I would imagine so, yeah. You should
just
be able to.
Without context, that's my assumption. Because, like I said, I go through agony every week trying to set my 10-team lineup because I'm like, oh, my God, how do I fit that? The guys I wanted in my lineup.
There's an easy way to solve that problem, Joe. Don't be in a 10-team league. Yeah. add two members. Okay. Anthony Hinkle wants to know. Lost Tony Romo.
That's our guy Stretch.
Oh, there you go. My guy Stretch. Yes. I lost Tony Romo in my Dynasty League. Who do you start this week? Teddy Bridgewater or Derek Carr?
Let's see here. Let me take a look. Stretch for you. Teddy against San Diego gave up a solid game last week. Derek Carr at Cleveland. I'm going to start Teddy.
I think so.
I think that Cleveland defense is pretty good, and Oakland's going on the road. I'm going to take Teddy.
Yeah, it's their first road trip. I would go Teddy. Okay, two more. Andrew Dober, the Dober Mania, can only play one tight end, 1 point PPR, Greg Olsen or Jordan Reed.
Olsen, New Orleans defense. New Orleans got shredded by Darren Fells. I'm going with Greg Olsen.
Okay. And last one from Jeffrey Bolesky. Is Dante Moncrief transitioning into an every week starter?
Yes, he is. He's too talented. And now, let me just go on one final little run here on the podcast, Bo. Throw in your thoughts if you have them. That Andre Johnson signing is terrible. And it was terrible for us.
It's too bad that I didn't get you to buy on trading for him in Dynasty before week one, huh?
Yeah, I have Moncrief, and I'd rather have Moncrief straight up than Andre Johnson at this point. And it was the thing that I hate most about it is the fact that it was just a fantasy trap. Because you're like, oh, they brought in Andre Johnson, and then they drafted Dorsett. What do they think of Moncrief? They must think he's a moron. They must think he can't play. And then all of a sudden, the guy who's playing at the end of the year, who looked like a talented player, an emerging player, is the guy catching the passes from Andrew Luck. I'm not entirely convinced Ryan Grigson knows what he's doing, Bo. I think that's being kind. And while Andre, you can't give up on a guy like that, I think it's telling that the Houston Texans essentially said to him, if you come back, you're going to be a part-time player. They thought he was done. And he looks done. And yep. Moncrief's the most talented receiver on that team. And I'm saying above T.Y. Hilton because Moncrief has size that T.Y. Hilton does not have. I still think Hilton, when he's healthy, is the one. I think he's the guy Luck trusts the most. But I think Moncrief, there's a reasonable expectation that this guy's the two. And on that offense, and now he's done this, Bo, with two bad matchups. If he maintains a consistent level of performance, he's definitely an every week starter. And I'm kicking myself I don't have him in more spots because I was scared about the Andre Johnson signing. That is a bad job by me and a bad job by Ryan Grigson to bring Andre Johnson in because I'm really not sure what he's giving this team. He sure as hell didn't fight for that interception on Andrew Luck's last pick of the game on Monday night.
I don't think he's physically capable of doing anything on that play. All right, I got one more for you, since just to calm you down, since you're all hot and bothered. All right, this is my weekly question for you. I've got so two running back spots and a flex, half point PPR. Alfred Morris, Matt Jones, Deion Lewis, James Starks, and also Vincent Jackson can play in the flex. Also have Carlos Williams, but I assume that he's not the answer there.
Yeah. The unfortunate problem for you here, Bo, is you can't wait until Monday to see if Starks is actually going to play.
Right.
If there's news, I'd want to get Starks in there if there's news before Monday that Eddie Lacy isn't going to play. At this stage,
yeah,
I'm going
to
tell you
none of the guys are even late Sunday games, so I have to make a decision for Sunday at 1.
I'm going to tell you to bench Malcolm Morris. I'm going to tell you to so far with what we know, bench Starks and start the other three. Here's the thing with Deion Lewis, and let's get one thought in here before we close out. I think the expectation is that after last week's game against the tough defense, this is a LeGarrette Blount game against Jacksonville, and that might very well be true. However, I think Deion Lewis looks like a pretty complete player, don't you?
I do. I mean,
he looks
pretty
good.
He is taking over the Vereen role, right, from last year, and he's giving you close to what Blount is giving you on the ground. I mean, he's not as much of a pounder, but he's still solid in between the tackles. Joe Banner's dreams come true.
He's a better runner than Shane Vereen. Vereen's a great receiver, but Lewis looks like a tougher runner than Vereen. It looks like he grinds it out a little bit more for a guy his size. He's been pretty impressive so far. If I have Deion Lewis in my leagues, I'm really glad I have him because I think this is a guy who, even when Blount's the true early down, might very well be the case this week. I think they would be foolish to not get Deion Lewis involved because he's been one of their best players through two games, and they've had a lot of good players because they've been dominating.
All right, Joe. Well, that'll do it for the third edition of the hashtag Ask Guru podcast, the crystal clear new mic edition. And we thank you for listening and remembering to it. So do you. Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
And so remember hashtag Ask Guru, and we will answer your questions every week. Good luck in week 3. May all your decisions be right, and may all your opponent's players get injured. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.